I was visiting with a friend, a priest friend the other day, Father Yancey, who serves down at St. Francis Hospital. And he was telling me how the sisters there at the hospital actually move the Magi each day. And they get closer and closer and closer to the crib. And I walked into the hospital one day and I remembered him telling me that, so I tried to look for them, and it was so funny because they were hidden in the flower shop amongst the flowers. You can barely tell they were there. It's like they were spies sneaking in to see Jesus. But you'll notice that our wise men have moved to adore Jesus both inside and outside as we celebrate today the Epiphany. This time of visitation from the Magi and revelation of Jesus to the world. And they came bearing three gifts, as most of you know. The first gift, gold. Gold, as in ancient times, is a sign of power, of kingship. In fact, it's not so much true today, but certainly throughout history, that a king would be rich and would have a bunch of gold. I remember I grew up with watching the cartoon DuckTales, and Scrooge McDuck would be swimming through his tower of gold. This idea that to have power was to also be rich. Saint Irenaeus says that the gold was given to Jesus as a sign of his royalty, because Jesus was a king. But we know from our studies and from other homilies that I've given that Jesus is a very different kind of king, not one who sits back in his palace with gold, not one who has very faithful followers, right? His own people tried to kill him. They crucified him. And we learn very quickly as we look through the life of Jesus that he's not a king of so much earthly things, but of a kingdom that is coming. And it's interesting that the Catholic Church expresses this in very certain terms in Vatican II, that the kingdom is among us in the church. In other words, if you want to be a subject of Jesus Christ, you become a subject of his church. You become actively involved in that church. We learn quickly, too, that he's not so much one who wants to reign with power and gold and the things that traditionally kings had, but he wants to reign, more importantly, over your lives and your hearts, your desires. Incidentally, we do this by handing over that which we treasure most to God, to allow him to become king of our hearts and our lives. The second gift was one of frankincense. We still use this in worship today. It's dried tree sap, which is put in on top of a hot coal and then burns and melts down, and you get a smell from it. Some of you hate it. Some of you love it. Some of you cough, and some of you pass out at the sight of it. But it's traditionally, and you have to kind of put yourselves in the shoes of a Jew who is offering worship to God by slaughtering animals, right? And so there was a need for something that smelled a little better. There was a need for this fragrance within the temple and around the temple. But today we still use it in a very symbolic way as our prayers rise up to God, so that incense does. And it reminds us of something higher. Just as that smoke floats up, that God is somehow higher than us. Saint Irenaeus tells us that it symbolizes his deity. His deity, that he is God, that he is divine. And we often use this frankincense in worship of God. But what's interesting about worship, guys, is that God doesn't need it. You ever thought about that? Does God, for God to be God and for God to be perfectly happy, does he need me to be at Mass today? Absolutely not. Does he need the flowers and the candles and the finery? Absolutely not. In fact, in the Old Testament, as I've shared with you before, there are several times where God deplores all of these outward shows of worship because the people didn't bring their hearts to him. You see, if all we do is sing the songs and bow our knee and do all these actions, but don't give our hearts totally over to God, there's no worship. And God's not the one who needs worship, we do. The last gift was the gift of myrrh. And I used this example last year, but I want to repeat it because it's so striking. If you can imagine yourself a new mother, you're sitting at home, your baby's a week old, you're holding him in your arms, you're surrounded by your husband and family, everybody's rejoicing, you have family over, or they're passing around the baby, getting all those germs passed around too, I'm sure. And all of a sudden, there's a knock at the door. And there's three men in suits, and they come bearing little treasure chests. And the first one comes up to you, and he gives you a little treasure chest, and you open it, and it's got gold coins in it. And you're thinking, great start to the college fund, right? So you're really appreciative of this first guy. You say, please, have a seat, hang out with us. The second guy comes in, and you open up his chest, and it looks like, if you've ever seen raw frankincense, it's very weird looking. It's like little clumps of something that looks like, for lack of a better color to describe it, it looks like snot, okay? It's yellow, it's kind of strung out. It's just really weird and creepy looking. So you haven't really seen frankincense before. You open up this little chest and you look at it and you kind of look up at the guy and think, well, thanks, I guess. And he says, well, it's used in worship of God. And you think, well, that's great. Thank you very much. Have a seat. But the third guy comes up and he opens up his little chest and in it is a little vial. And on the vial is printed the words embalming fluid. And you look up strangely at this man and you say, what's your problem? Right? You come to visit a newborn baby, a joyful situation, and you bring embalming fluid? What's wrong with you? But see, guys, this is exactly what is happening on this occasion of the Epiphany. Myrrh was strictly used in the burial rite. And so for this third wise man to come bearing myrrh and giving that to Mary is the equivalent of handing a brand new mother embalming fluid. And it's no wonder that Scripture says that Mary kept all these things in her heart. She reflected on them. She didn't know what they meant. But we know on the other side of all of this happening that it was certainly pointing to the purpose that Jesus came into the world. And that was to die for your sins. He came to die. I remember a beautiful Christian song that I love says that he was born to die. We are called to be like Jesus. The goal of the Christian life, guys, is to be as much like Jesus as humanly possible and as your vocation allows. And so that means that you are born to die. St. Gregory the Great says this, that we are called to return Christ's gift of self-sacrifice with our own gift of self-sacrifice. Now, it doesn't mean you're going around like you have a death wish. But certainly life offers you many opportunities to give of yourself, to die to yourself so that you can give life to someone else. Parents, you know this. Your baby wakes up in the middle of the night and is screaming, and you've had like 4 hours of sleep and you're in a bad mood. But is there any question in your mind that you're going to get up and hold that child? Not one bit. And that's the same kind of self-gift that God is asking of each one of us. The gift you give to your spouse, to your children, to your church, a self-sacrificial gift. There's a beautiful line in the gospel this morning. It says that they came to the house. Keep in mind, they've actually are not in the manger anymore. They've gone to Egypt. They've come back from Egypt, and they've gone home. And finally, the Magi are able to track them down by the guidance of the star. And it says that they came and prostrated themselves and did him homage. And then it says that they opened their treasures for him. They opened their treasures for him. I would submit to you on this feast of the Epiphany that we should do the same. To open our treasures to Jesus. Probably the biggest treasure we have, guys, is our own life. And that is opening up our whole life to the work of God. Every little bit of it. Our work that we do, getting paid for, our parenting, our spousal relationships. And it's scary to actually lay it down in front of the child Jesus, this little baby who seems helpless and incapable, and to hand it over to God and say, "Here you go, God. Here's my whole life. Here's my job and my family and my finances." And this little baby just looks at your family and your job and your finances, and he, you know, makes some little baby noise. And you think, well, can he handle it? Absolutely. What do you treasure most? What do you treasure most? Think about that for a moment. And have you handed that treasure over to the child Jesus?